Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, Fox?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
The USMCA is also a massive win for American manufacturers and auto workers.
This is the single biggest bipartisan legislative victory for this president.
You try to bring him down and he just does more. If you keep at this, he'll probably cure the coronavirus and make China pay for it.
They were very warm and cordial calls.
I've never seen a candidate predict his own death or say so clearly, I may not make it to the end of my first term.
Hey, fellas, good to see you. I wish I had seen you when you made Present the Colors.
What
was that?
I don't know. That neither was Joe Biden. He. I know who it was. I just don't know what he was talking about, and neither does he. So anyway.
That's a common theme.
That's true. It tends to be. Good morning to you. Happy Thursday. Roads are great this morning compared to yesterday. Everything is fine.
Smooth.
We're not in storm mode, I notice, on any of the TV stations. So you should be good on your way to work. It's fine. Fantastic. Hey, a big day in the news world yesterday because the president signed the USMCA, which was a big deal, had the signing ceremony. And then meanwhile, over at the Capitol building nearby, the impeachment inquiry and the trial continues, right? And what was the biggest news out of yesterday? The Democrats are claiming, we love John Bolton. Adam Schiff used to hate John Bolton, but we love John Bolton. And then they found a soundbite from John Bolton from back in July, right after the president's phone call with Zelensky. Go to cut two. You heard part of it a minute ago.
Well, I will be meeting President Zelensky. He and President Trump have already spoken twice. President called to congratulate President Zelensky on his election and then on his success in the parliamentary election. They were very warm and cordial calls.
Yes, they were. And he went on to say, we are focused on eliminating corruption and fighting corruption in the Ukraine. But now he says he's got a different story to tell, which happens to coincide with rolling out his new book. So I'm just saying.
That's convenient.
I think this statement will be enough to convince those spineless slugs, also known as Mitt Romney and Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, that it's just time to end this thing. This was their excuse for dragging it out. This was why we had to have witnesses. This is a guy that's told a couple of different versions of the same story now. Let's just move on. There's no here is the point. And we may know as soon as late today if this thing ends tomorrow. There could be a vote tomorrow to wrap this up, and we can just keep our fingers crossed that's the case. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big deal. What's your perception of mainstream news coverage of the impeachment so far? The evening news on the network news channels.
I haven't been paying attention to it. The impeachment has, I know that's terrible given what we do, but the impeachment has me so fatigued. I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So, according to studies by the Media Research Council, the evening news spin was 100% negative to the Trump defense and 95% positive to the House Democratic manager's presentations.
Those
they went back and
numbers.
Looked at it.
No kidding.
It's a huge swing. Between January 22nd and Tuesday, January 28th, when the president's defense team arrested, evening newscasts and reporters made a total of 34 evaluative statements about the merits and effectiveness of both sides. But when it came to evaluating the Democratic managers, 95% of those that they touted their efforts in their presentation were more positive about the House managers. It just, I love what the Media Research Council does. They don't just guess. They go back and they listen to the broadcasts, and then they determine how the coverage came out. So anybody who wants to claim that the fact that we say consistently in conservative media that the mainstream media, the mainstream newscasts, ABC, CBS, NBC, certainly the cable news, CNN, MSNBC, show a stated bias against this president and Republicans, it's right there in black and white. It's not a guessing game. We know it's happening. So I thought that was pretty telling.
Well, thankfully, they're doing that. Otherwise, well, except for people that are watching those aren't going to hear that.
Right. Mm-hmm. No.
We know it, too. And I think that's why I don't turn on any networks for that kind of coverage. I go back. I listen to what I listen to. I read trusted headlines. I check them. But
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So of course, the Iowa caucuses are coming up, and the Democrats are nervous now because Sanders is leading by a couple, like 4 points, and could very well win Iowa, which has got them all nervous. So what do? They've rolled out a campaign ad. The Democrats have rolled out a campaign ad against Bernie Sanders because what they need to do here is knock him back down a couple of notches. Because they don't want him. What they want you to believe is he's not healthy enough to be the president of the United States. Hit it.
The most important thing is we have to beat Trump.
We've seen the damage that Trump and the Republican Congress have done.
I doubt if Bernie Sanders can beat Trump.
I like Bernie. I think he has great ideas. But Michigan, Pennsylvania, Iowa, they're just not going to vote for a socialist.
I do have some concerns about Bernie Sanders' health, considering the fact that he did have a heart attack.
I think it's very important that the Democrats nominate somebody that can beat Trump.
I don't feel as though Bernie Sanders would do well against Donald Trump.
I just don't think Bernie can beat Trump.
DMFI PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So they're attacking him because he's had a heart attack. Yet Joe Biden's out telling everybody he might die. Mm-hmm. He's predicting his own death in his comments to voters.
Mm-hmm. Not a smart move to remind people of those concerns.
What we have here is a failure to communicate. They're a little panicked. I've got a great article here this morning. I'm gonna bring this up, talk to you about it just a little later. But the folks on the left are really worried now because in the past, the winner of Iowa has always been indicative of who the nominee is going to be. John Kerry won big out there. Barack Obama won big out there over Hillary Clinton, which was the first shocker of that series. Now they're trying to argue that Iowa's not going to matter because they think Bernie's going to win and they don't want it to be Bernie. It's just a... Mm-hmm. They got a mess on their hands.
It is a mess. To some extent, Trump changed the political landscape, right? I mean, he sent him into a tizzy and he's switched up the weight of the different states, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Can a Bloomberg poll, after it's all spread out like that, can a Bloomberg still rise to the top?
I don't know. He'd have to kill it at Super Tuesday to overcome some of this. And I guess if some of the superdelegates committed to him early, that would help, but I don't know. It's going to be
a mess. He's running so many ads. I mean, like, he's the only person that I see is Bloomberg ads.
Very true.
And I guess he is the only one and President Trump that have ads during the Super Bowl.
That makes sense. They're probably the only ones
with
that can afford
the money.
They're the only ones that can afford to do it. That's for sure. Well, there was quite a bit of excitement this week at the county council meeting. They were busy, the Democrats, that is, turning down a resolution honoring the people who wanted to march for life in Washington, D.C. They couldn't do that. And then they're wanting to, some of them want to change the vagrancy laws or eliminate them so that, people can harass you wherever you go in your vehicle or on foot in St. Louis County. It's crazy stuff. There's also a discussion right now over some Proposition P money, and I asked County Councilman Tim Fitch to join us this morning to talk more about that. He's with from District 3. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
great to have you on the show again.
Thanks for asking me to come back.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, what is this discussion? I read a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago, that there, that you and some of the other council members had tried to make a move to look at how Prop P money is being spent and where it's gone, and that was turned down by Lisa Clancy, correct?
Well, she tried to turn it down, but the council as a whole overruled her. We asked some very simple questions. I had sent an email to the budget director and asked, what's going on with Prop P? What's the status of it? And he told me it was over-budgeted. Now, what does over-budgeted mean to you? Think of your household. I think that means you have more expenses than you have revenue.
Right.
So right. I asked for the council to be briefed by the budget director and come before us, tell us where this money has gone, what's the projected revenues, what will this look like, you know, in the future. Why haven't we been told, if there have been spending bills that have been coming to us from the county executive's office, why aren't we told, hey, by the way, if you vote for this, it's going to cause the fund to be over budgeted? Very simple questions. And the response I received was, well, I still haven't received a response from the county executive's office. I wrote that letter to the director of administration more than a week ago. There's been no response. So I took it straight to the county council. Last week, the county council chairman, chairwoman Lisa Clancy, said, let me give that some thought. I'll think about it. And then this past Tuesday, I asked again. And she said, well, I talked to the budget director. I see no need for us to have a public discussion about this. And, of course, you know, Mark Carter and Ernie Trakas and I all said, what do you mean not have a public discussion? It's the public's money. So Mark Carter made a motion that we hold a committee of the whole to hear publicly about Prop P funds. And everyone voted yes, but Lisa Clancy, she said no. But so she was overruled.
So what in the world is she afraid of? I mean, it's just a matter of reviewing how the money's been spent. You know, I remember the debate over this, and I think I even had you on the show talking about it at the time. I knew a lot of people that supported the idea of Prop P. They just wanted some assurances the money was going to be spent for public safety, for law enforcement officers, to make sure they're fairly paid and we're not, you know, scraping every time the budget comes around to give them cost of living increases and all that.
That's exactly. It was supposed to be, and it was sold, if you go look at anything you find on the internet, for police. That's what Proposition P was for. And every once in a while, you'd see a slight indication about the word public safety. That's where the rub is what is public safety? Well, since 2017, when the voters approved this, there's been all kinds of definitions about what public safety should be. So I believe that we actually drew a box around this fund last June when we passed an ordinance that prohibited these funds from being used for purposes outside what the council defined. By the way, I wasn't completely happy with that final definition, but it was a matter of compromise to get some sort of box drawn around it, because without that, the money was going everywhere.
Right, right, yeah.
So that's where we're at now is it's $50 million a year that's coming in on the sales tax just to St. Louis County, and we're apparently spending every penny of that plus more. And my concern is as you know, the economy goes up and down. Well, if we're spending $50 million a year and next year it only brings in $45 million, where does that other $5 million come from? There's no reserve there, and there should be. We need to have a discussion about that.
You know, and to your point, it's been spread out to, correct me if I'm wrong, the prosecuting attorney's office, correct? I mean, there are lots of different departments dipping into this money now, and I don't know if that's what voters had in mind.
I don't believe they did. I certainly don't. And the other thing is, why is Lisa Clancy stalling to have a public conversation about this? I truly believe they have every intention in the world of using Prop P funds, just taking funds out and figuring out later how to pay our responsibilities, take the funds out and pay it on the Wildhaber verdict. And that's what I think they're dragging it out for. So that's why I filed a bill yesterday to protect Proposition P funds from being used for lawsuits.
You know, I assume, Tim, we're talking to Tim Fitch, a county councilman from District 3. I assumed the county's insurance would cover it in that verdict. That's not the case?
That is not the case, at least not in all respects. I mean, first of all, the county is self-insured.
Okay.
Now, we have an excess insurance policy, and there's been debate probably seen that in the news, and whether or not they're going to cover any of the final amount because they weren't notified that St. Louis County was being sued.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's been resolved yet because we get no information from the county counselor's office. Every time we ask, we're told that you're not the executive branch. You're not privy to this information.
Well, I tell you what, thank you for asking these questions because somebody needs to. I mean, the voters in this county are going to be angry if that money ends up getting diverted for lawsuits and things that just aren't directly related to the men and women in uniform being able to go down and protect us every day.
Absolutely. And I think the people already are angry. They're watching this very closely. And I think the administration and county government, the executive branch, will make a huge mistake if they don't stop the bleeding from this fund. And if they try to use this fund to pay off a lawsuit, I think they will hear about it at the ballot box.
Well, Tim, thank you for your vote the other day in favor of that resolution to honor the people who go to Washington every year for the March for Life.
Absolutely. It was the right thing to do. And, of course, we saw how that ended up with the squad, as they call themselves now.
Wow. Did they just shut it down?
Yes, absolutely.
That's amazing. Well, listen, Tim, do me a favor. Keep us up to date on this, would you, as this moves forward? Because, you know, if you're kind of making sure that the money's being followed, I want to keep up with it as well.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, Mark.
Great having you on. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Tim Fitch, county councilman from District 3, of course, a former St. Louis County police chief, and he's definitely looking out for, you know, the men and women in policing for sure. But I was here, folks. I was on the fence about supporting Prop P because I knew it was a lot of money. And I'm like, I even brought Steve Stinger on my program back then, and I asked him, why can't you put wording in here that guarantees this can't be used for anything other than police salaries or salaries for people at the jail, wherever the case may be? Well, we can't do that by statute, but we'll come back and follow up on it and make sure that gets done. Huh. Hope I wasn't horribly wrong about that. 314-241-9797. Randy Tobler coming up.
This is the Mark Cox Show because my dad's the best.
All right. How about that? My little girl there.
So
giving
cute.
Me props.
A little rock star.
I played that because she's in the car with her mom this morning heading to an orthodontist appointment.
Oh, at good Dr. morning,
White's
lady.
Boy,
office.
That's early. Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, no kidding. And she's like, I hear Sue Thomas.
Aw.
She's a big Sue Thomas fan.
Who
Sue,
isn't?
Me too. So
I know, who isn't? But she loves you, Sue, and she was just bragging about
so
you.
She is so cute.
Fact.
Well, yes. We're fans of hers.
Well, thank you very much. She's a, good girl. Anyway, I hope they're safe out there this morning. Now let's get to what's going on here with Dr. Randy.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list and a statue.
Randy, happy Thursday morning to you.
How are you doing? No fever, cough, shortness of breath, sore throat? You doing okay there, Mark?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm sticking to Dos Equis these days. I don't want to
no
take any chances with the corona.
Not to be confused with Covfefe.
Yeah, no kidding. We had this,
I almost forgot about that.
How did you forget about Covfefe?
Covfefe.
We had the story yesterday that, according to Google search results, there's been a huge spike in people searching for corona beer virus. Those three words.
Isn't that crazy? Those are probably the same people that think that Medicare for all and forgiving student debt is like the future of America. You talk about the low information voter. Holy cow. Whoa.
Yeah, it's really frightening. You know, Randy, there's lots of misinformation floating around about this. And, the thing about it is that I do believe that the damage in China is much worse than they've told anyone. I think that's
right.
True. And I think we're going to have to be very cautious with this thing. I also believe that they're on top of this, the infectious disease specialists, and they're going to grab a hold of this. I mean, there's some horrible news floating around out there that I believe is fake news about this being wiping out millions of people before it's over with.
Yeah. I don't know. It, from what I can glean, it appears as though the fatality rate is about 3%, and that's significant. I mean, it's frankly not as bad as the influenza in some years, but it certainly is up there with the SARS and the MERS and the bird flu, you know, those kind of things that we've seen in the past. Bottom line is that when you've got a concentrated number of people, I mean, yeah, well, 10 or 11 million people in a small area in a city like Huang, you know, what do you say? That is the absolute perfect storm for having transmission of these kind of things once it jumps from humans to animal from animals to humans. So boy, they're putting up hospitals. Like Elizabeth Warren is coming up with new plans. It's just amazing there. And I still am interested. I got to put on my tinfoil hat here, but I'm wondering if this wasn't something to do with a bioterrorism bug. I'm fascinated by the possibility of that story because it was reported earlier in the outbreak that, you know, there's one of their main facilities over there with bioterrorism. Who knows? I don't know.
Wow.
It's a crazy deal, but I'm really happy that the CDC is on top of it. They do such good work. I'm also saddened that I got into a little Twitter war. I guess it was over the weekend or late last week. Someone posted that, you know, Donald Trump, because he fired the chief national security person who could have, you know, arrested this and gotten his arms around this outbreak, getting to the states. It's going to be, what in the world does the NSC have to do with the coronavirus outbreak at this point anyway? This is a CDC matter. And so I tweeted back, and we got into a little Twitter war on it. But
well,
everyone politicizes this thing, you know.
You know, these days, anything like that can be transmitted worldwide in the course of an 8-hour international flight, right?
Yep.
I mean, how do you control that? I don't know.
And when the incubation period is up to 2 weeks, you know, before you become symptomatic, that's the kicker. Now, most viruses are like that. You're generally for at least a couple of days. This one seems to have an extended incubation, symptomatic-free time span. But that's where you get in trouble. That's why they're transmitted. I mean, no one's going to, well, I can't say no one, but very few people, once they get symptomatic, are going to be in the movie theater eating popcorn and coughing over the person in front of them. I mean, you know, you just feel so bad, you're not going to go there. It's that pre-symptomatic incubation time that's the problem, and that's the real kicker here. So washing hands, and preferably with soap and water, but the alcohol-based things are good too. Before you touch eyes, nose, mouth is absolutely essential. And if you think about it, as you go through your day, how many of us don't riffle through a stack of papers? I know when you're doing your pile of prep for the morning, or, you know, that's where I'm vulnerable. Oh, I got a couple of pages sticking together. You want to lick your finger and go down and do that. No. Don't do that. when you're to keyboard, and if you're going to rub your eyes, be careful. I mean, it's just crazy how you can transmit these things if you use shared devices and then touch your eyes, nose, or mouth.
Yeah.
That's how they get into our body generally.
See, if you keep saying stuff like that, Dave Glover's never going to come in the studio again. He's a little bit of a germaphobe.
He already wears that big bio suit.
I know. He wears a bio suit in here in the afternoons. Yeah. So
he's got his N95 respirator mask, like Darth Vader.
You know, they're running out of those
things.
Well,
I got to ask you a question. I have to ask you a question. I got into a debate with a pro-Trumper the other day, and I'm a pro-Trumper, but I warned Donald Trump, not that he listens to me, he never has and never will, but, you know, early on when he started just going after people that he formerly, when he announced them as his cabinet person or his advisor, yeah, this is the greatest thing since pop-up Kleenex, John Bolton's a wonderful guy. But then on the way out and somewhere along the way when things go south, he just berates them publicly. And you got to wonder, this whole John Bolton thing, people have egos and people have axes to grind.
Right.
And when they find a platform to grind them on, they're going to do it. And you got to wonder if that's the one Achilles heel that Donald Trump has. I'm not saying that you don't have a right to say things and be bombastic and outspoken. We like that in one sense about him. But you wonder if he could reel that back in a lot, and a lot of the damage and the consequences that come down the road could be avoided. It's an interesting thought game.
It is. It is completely. And, you know, maybe that's one of his Achilles heels, is along with Twitter, that he tends to enrage people with. I mean, I think that the Bolton case is not unique. Have you ever watched The Apprentice? He did that to people on The Apprentice all the time. They were his favorite person until they weren't. And then he was firing them, and it's just kind of his thing. Yeah. It's not my favorite thing, that's for sure. But you make a good point that he could save himself some headaches down the road just by dialing that in a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yes. That relates to the whole reason that I think we don't get the best and the brightest and really truly great people in government anymore. I mean, you know, we'll get some now and then there's a politician that comes along and he's probably one of them that's a changer, a game changer in for all of his pathologies and does a good job. But in terms of really great people, I mean, think about it. If you were thinking about going into public office, when you look at the way the media just rips you apart. And yeah. The way, you know, it's such a toxic atmosphere. We'll look at that now in a microcosm of someone's cabinet, you know, or an administration like Trump's. Do you really want to go there when the history is, you know, you're my favorite, then you're out on the streets and you're a jerk? Well, if that's almost the inevitable destiny of anyone who circles in his orbit, I think a lot of people, decent people, would say, I don't think so. I'm just not going to go there. So you wonder what could be done even more than he's already done, which is unbelievable and outstanding. Much better could it be if he just reined it in just a tad?
If
Kellyanne can't get to him, and I'm sure she's had those conversations with him, no one's going to get with him.
That's true,
right?
No. Yeah, minus impeachment. I mean, and that's it's impossible to say that because it's ever omnipresent. Minus impeachment, yeah. He's had a good couple of weeks. The China trade deal, the USMCA, right. All these things going on, the Middle East peace plan that completely got ignored. Listen to what Greg Gutfeld said about him yesterday. Cut 29, please.
It seems impeachment really revs up an already competitive president. You try to bring him down and he just does more. If you keep at this, he'll probably cure the coronavirus and make China pay for it. I hope so. Juan, that monologue was dedicated to you. It was like dedicating a song. I think you would agree, Juan, that with the trade deals, the peace plans, the dead terrorists, impeachment has made Trump the most effective president in our lifetimes.
Wow. Now, he did some of that was tongue-in-cheek with the coronavirus, but he's gotten a lot done, Randy.
Despite tremendous and undeserved headwinds, you know, yes, he does have some deserved critique in terms of the things we talked about and some of his over-the-top, rude, you know, conversations. But on the other hand, what he has done, I mean, moving, you know, the capital to Jerusalem, holy cow, all of those things just go totally unnoticed and actually scorned even when there's a positive. You know, the guy could cure cancer and somehow he would be a jerk in the eyes of CNN and MSNBC. I heard your story about the Media Research Center the other day. They do a fabulous job. And I'm surprised that the mainstream cable outlets and the other mainstream broadcast outlets aren't just shamed into at least trying to throw a little balance into the mix. But boy, they just have no conscience whatsoever.
In all, the networks covered the Democratic manager's presentation for 25 minutes. Yeah. Compared to 11 minutes and 34 seconds they gave to the president's defense team.
Right.
They gave him double the amount
the time,
of coverage.
Right?
Yeah, that's just the
time. And then when you parse it into pro and con, it gets even worse.
Right. Yeah, it kind of puts it in black and white for you. Randy, yeah. Listen, take care of yourself. See a doctor about that cough, please.
I will. I just came back from Wuhan, and so I'm going to see, you know, what maybe I made a mistake there. No, there's something going around that gives you a cold that doesn't take you down and out for a week or so, but then you have this chronic post-cold thing. That's what I'm struggling with. So.
Hope you feel better, my friend.
We'll be there on Saturday. We'll make it work. Hey, I'm going to be in studio on Saturday, so I'll try to cough all over the mic for you, okay?
I'll get my wet wipes out here on Monday morning.
Yeah,
don't you
mine.
Worry. All right,
mine.
Buddy. No thank you.
All right, see
you. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
My wife is a community college professor, and she says the best-kept secret, hey, fellas, good to see you. I wish I had seen you when you made Present the Colors. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Folks, look, you know that old expression, God made man, and then he made some firefighters.
I'm unfamiliar with that expression.
Hey, Joe, what's the best-kept secret? Like, he started to tell him what his wife says the best kept secret was. Then he just completely loses his train of thought and goes off on something else.
Hey, man, I like your colors. Good to see you here.
Oh, my. You just couldn't.
Keep talking, Joe.
You just keep talking, Joe. Mm. Just keep talking. People, even if nothing else, some of them are going to hold their nose and vote for you because they don't like Donald Trump. But nobody's going to be enthused to vote for that guy if he ends up being the nominee. Nobody.
I don't know if at this
Do you
point,
still think he's going to be the nominee?
No.
No?
No.
Mark?
I'm having more fun with him now, though.
I know. I said from the beginning, I don't think it's going to be Biden.
Who's leading Iowa? Is it Bernie?
Bernie's leading Iowa.
Okay. I don't think he will be either.
And Bernie's leading New Hampshire.
Bloomberg?
Yeah.
No way. Yep. You're leaning towards Bloomberg now.
Yep.
All right.
I'm going with the most moderate choice because I don't think that the majority of people that don't like Trump are insane. I think there's a section of this population that doesn't like Trump that wants another moderate. Just saying.
Could be.
Biden is certifiably insane.
I think that's why Bloomberg ran.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's why he decided, I'm going to get in the race. At least he's not crazy as Tom Steyer. Tom Steyer flies all over the country in a private jet, but his biggest issue is the economy and the carbon footprint. Listen to his explanation for why what he's doing is okay. Cut 2017.
I think one of the things that I do is I never fly in a private plane. But I'm still on a plane. So I try everything I can to be carbon neutral. And we try and avoid everything we can. We've looked at that. In my life, just so you know, I actually spend a lot of time looking at my carbon footprint and trying to use our farm to sequester carbon so I can feel as if I'm doing my part personally.
I just want that to hang out there for a minute. These are the same morons that want you to believe that carbon credits make a difference, okay? Carbon credits, if you set a line and one company's below it and another company is above it in terms of carbon output, the company that's above it can pay money to the company that's below it to buy some of their space for carbon output. I'm not a whiz at math, but it strikes me you're still putting out the same amount of carbon. All that's happening is that you're paying a tax to do it. It's nonsense. It's gobbledygook. Don't buy into this crap. These people are nuts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.